Open up with me in your Bibles to Matthew 13. But you didn't guess I was going to say that. All right. We're studying the parables if you're just joining us. Our previous study, we looked at verses 31 and 32 with the parable of the mustard seed. This is where the kingdom is shown to be to have a remarkable growth, despite the humble beginnings of starting as a small mustard seed and yet growing as something, a huge tree where even the other birds can rest in its branches. Perhaps the parable was told by Jesus to reassure his disciples, considering all the possible bad news that we see with the parable of the sower, that it is that only one type of soil is going to listen. You know, the problem of one type of soil listening is that you get fewer people to listen, to become Christians, to follow along. But if even then, even with that, it'll grow like a mustard tree from a small beginning in that way. It could be that their involvement in the kingdom could be not worth a whole lot. But again and again, Satan's efforts to destroy that kingdom we see with the parable of the wheat and the tares. So it's possible that maybe they were a little disconcerted about the meanings of these parables. So we see that despite all these things, the kingdom will grow. Another kingdom that seems to have this parable that seems to have this same idea here is a one verse parable. You know, I love these one verse parables that we see in Matthew 13. There are a couple of them, one or two verses, and this is one of them, verse 33. The parable of the leaven. Let's read that. Another parable, he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. All right, so it seems, this is very short, the meaning is not given here, and it seems to fit along with the exact meaning or the exact idea of the parable before, but there are some differences that I'd like to look at and why I think it deserves its own lesson, its own sermon here. Again, both are quite brief, and they appear to describe the remarkable spread of the kingdom. But again, some differences can be noted. So this parable is certainly worthy of careful consideration. Let's consider some background information of leaven. What exactly is leaven? I'm sure many of you are, if any of you have baked bread or anything of that nature, then you know you have some idea of what leaven is. It is defined by the Holman Bible Dictionary as a small portion of fermented dough used to ferment other dough. Kind of reminds me of sourdough bread. I know a lot of people these days are, I say these days, at least during the height of the shutdowns and the quarantines and whatnot, there were a lot of people who were experimenting with baking sourdough. Because of all the effort and time that it takes to put into it, a lot of people were thinking, well, let's try that. And so that seemed to be sort of a fad, a pandemic fad at the time. But that's what it sounds kind of like here, where you have this fermented portion of dough that you have set aside, and you put it into the rest to ferment the rest, or not to ferment, but to, to make the rest of the dough spread so that it rises, so that that bread rises. Again, once inserted into that batch, it continues this process of fermentation until the whole batch has risen, until it becomes a loaf of bread, as we might think of it. Today, we typically use the term yeast instead of leaven, and some of the principles some of the particulars are different, but the principle is the same. A little bit, I actually did an experiment not too long ago with some of the youth at another church I was at, where I baked a small thing of bread with a full amount of yeast, some with half some yeast and some without. And you could tell the difference between each of them. And yet they were all leavened, or at least two of them were leavened. And a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump, was the idea of that particular object lesson. And in fact, we see that here in the symbolic use of leaven throughout the New Testament. Typically, leaven is considered as a corrupting influence. In fact, we find that in the Old Law, in the Old Testament. Leaven couldn't be in any part of any of the rituals in Old Testament law, especially when you consider the grain offering or any kind of bread situation. There's one exception, and I think it was the peace offering, I think. You were allowed to have a little bit of leaven for that one because that was a time of rejoicing, a time of a good time there. So what we see is that, again, often a symbol of, in that way. In fact, we find that if you remember when we were discussing Mark, in Mark chapter 8 and verse 15, Jesus says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And we looked at other passages, Matthew 16 verses 5 through 12 and Luke 12, 1, where we find that where that leaven, Jesus is talking about their teachings and their hypocrisy, where that is a concern. I think Mark mentions the leaven of the Pharisees and the Herodians. And so their teachings, their hypocrisy, all the things that they do, we find that it is a corrupting influence on the people there. And Jesus says to beware of that. Paul wrote of the danger of how a little leaven leavens the whole lump. He writes that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, talking about how a little bit of sin here can corrupt the whole congregation, can corrupt the whole church. And so if you let it fester instead of dealing with it, then it's going to harm everybody. And we find that, I think he quotes that again in Galatians. He uses that in Galatians chapter 5, I think, if I remember correctly. That same phrase, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. This has led some to conclude that leaven in the parable represents something evil. Or perhaps that anytime leaven is mentioned in the scriptures, it's evil. But you know what a great thing about the Bible is? Context. In order to determine the meaning of something, context is important. And I like to look at context. I hope you do too. It's very helpful for understanding what is being meant here. And that is true with this passage as well. Context helps us to determine that this is not a bad thing that's talked about here. After all, a speaker or a writer is certainly free to use a figure in any way that they wish. And Jesus is using this particular figure in a different way than is typically used in the scriptures. We can't read into the text what we want to think that we think should be there. That's kind of like a kind of eisegesis or asegesis. Now, you might not be familiar with that word. It's in fact, we discussed the idea this past Wednesday. There's eisegesis and exegesis. And what it is, exegesis is what we should be doing. And that means getting the meaning from the text. And that's looking around at the context. That's looking around at all sorts of other things going on here, trying to draw out the meaning. Whereas eisegesis is putting in or inputting what you want the passage to say. And we find that's true. So many people do that with how they interpret the scriptures. And again, we didn't use the names for this on this past Wednesday, but it's the idea, it's the difference of defending your faith with the Bible or getting your faith from the Bible. If you remember that difference there, we should defend our faith from the Bible. Yes, we should, but ultimately, we should get our faith from the Bible. If that's all we do is we defend our faith with the Bible, then we can defend anything we want. And that's not the way to do proper interpretation, properly understanding the Bible. And so we've got to make sure that we interpret the Bible properly by drawing out the meaning from the text, by using a proper exegesis. All right. And so that is, that's true. People do that with inserting their own meaning, but also thinking that one meaning that's used in one place is the same meaning that's used somewhere else. And that's not always the case. When is the Lord coming back? Well, first off, there's several instances where it says, I am coming quickly. And then finally, there's a day of the Lord. When is the day of the Lord? First off, we don't know. But then there are other instances where we find in Scripture that the day of the Lord, that there are many days of the Lord that happen. That the Lord comes in judgment in different situations and for different things in the Scripture. Now, there is an ultimate day of the Lord, and I think there are some passages that make that clear, but we can't assume that every instance that talks about the day of the Lord is the last day. And so that is an example of that. The last phrase, if this were talking about an evil leaven, the last phrase in verse 33, looking at this verse again, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. The last phrase, till it was all leavened, would suggest if this was an evil thing, then the kingdom is destined to fail. I don't think that's the message Jesus is trying to get across. In fact, we find that exact opposite message in plenty of other places, don't we? That the kingdom has no end. We find that prophesied in Daniel chapter 2, right? The leaven is to eventually fill the whole loaf. If leaven represents a corrupting influence, that's very discouraging. The close proximity, how close this is to the parable of the mustard seed, would suggest that there is that these two parables mean something similar. We find that kind of thing with the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great price a little bit later on in this chapter, where the meanings are similar. Two short parables back to back with similar meanings. Well, if Jesus does not mean to use the leaven in this context as symbolic of a corrupting influence, then what does he mean? What is he talking about? Well, let's consider. The kingdom's growth will be pervasive. That is, having the quality to permeate, to go throughout the world, to spread and flow wherever the Lord would have it to go, throughout every corner of society, everywhere in the world. One suggestion is that the loaf represents the world and the leaven is the kingdom. And I think that is a good representation there. Thus, the reign of heaven, the reign of God, will gradually make its influence felt throughout the world. And I think that has borne out. We have seen that in history. And hopefully we can see that again as sometimes there are churches that have allowed certain corruptions to come in. Hopefully that can be done even more. This reign of heaven could be manifested in the form of the gospel, which is, again, the word of the kingdom. And it was proclaimed to all creation. We find in Mark, commanded in Mark 16, verse 15, right? Go and preach the gospel to every creature, to all creation. In the form of the church, it could be in the form of the church as well, which spreads as people accept the gospel. As people accept the gospel and obey the gospel, then it could spread in that way. It could also be manifested in the influence of the word and the church, as their influence is felt in society. And certainly, again, in the Roman Empire, that was certainly the case. It was felt throughout the Roman Empire as the centuries progressed, even to the point where the Roman Empire, well, fell. Empires fall, rise and fall. The Lord's church is still here, isn't it? Far older than any of those other worldly kingdoms. This parable also illustrates the invisible growth of the kingdom. As leaven does its work with a less than noticeable effect, it kind of permeates and goes through the loaf. And sometimes you don't even notice it unless you, if you're watching. It's like watching grass grow or paint dry, right? You don't really notice it until you look away for a minute and you come back. And you see, wow, that grass has grown. Or that loaf has been leavened. That the yeast has made that bread rise. I know sometimes that yeast doesn't work. I don't know if you ever tried to make bread, but you know, even before I've tried, and it's sometimes that yeast doesn't even work. But we have a yeast that is alive and well, and that is the Word of God. While it may be hard to notice, that doesn't make it any less real. The kingdom's influence at the same time will be complete, will be pervasive, will be complete. Again, speaking of that loaf, Jesus said, until it was all leavened, it will spread until it's all leavened. That whole loaf is leavened. No part of the loaf or the world will be untouched by the influence of the kingdom. That is, that the gospel did indeed, it did spread. The gospel did spread throughout the world, even in the first century. And that was expressed by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10 and verse 18. Their sound has gone out to all the earth. The sound of the preachers, the gospel preachers in that passage, in the context there. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Later in Romans chapter 16, verse 26, the prophetic scriptures were made known to all the nations. It's gone everywhere. And of course, the one I think many of us are familiar with, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, that the gospel which was preached to every creature under heaven, man, even by the end of the first century, that had been true. And of course, have all obeyed the gospel? No. In fact, we mentioned Romans chapter 10. I believe it's verse 16 says, not all have obeyed the gospel. And we, of course, remember that from the parable of the sower, where there are four kinds of soil and only one of them will pay any attention to you, or at least there are two others who will pay attention, but they don't last long. Well, the fragrance of his knowledge is diffused in every place. To some, it is the aroma of death. To others, the aroma of life, as we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. To some, it is the aroma of death. But some, to the aroma of life. Let us still see, we still see the leavening influence of the Word and Christ's reign as the church grows. And I pray that through the pandemic, I know it's difficult sometimes to go out and study the Bible with people, but hopefully we can, and we can share that and allow the church to grow. And the influence of the Word in society is also quite prevalent. Sometimes we think that we're under attack, and in some ways we are, but because of that, because of the Lord, we know that it won't matter in the end, those attacks, will it? If we trust in the Lord, then we don't need to worry about those things. All right, finally, how do we apply this parable? What is the application of this? How do we, what efforts efforts can we be engaged in as a result of this? Well, first off, don't lose heart. You know, don't measure the growth or success of the kingdom solely by visible standards. And that's the thing, you know. We certainly have in our minds a mark of success. What does success look like? And the truth is, our measure of success may not be the same measure of success that the Lord has. And we have to make sure that we look through heaven's eyes, as we talked about this morning, to make sure that we are not using our own methods of success to make sure that determine how we feel about a particular thing. As Jesus said to the Pharisees, he says in Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. As you go out into the world and do some good here or there, and hopefully spread the gospel wherever you go, then that spreads the influence of the gospel, the influence of the Lord in places where you might not have considered. And isn't that a great thing? That's something that we can take with us everywhere we go. The spread of the kingdom, or the rule of God, is taking place wherever the word of the kingdom is being sown, and fruit will be born as it falls on good and noble hearts, as we remember from the parable of the sower. I think that's in Luke's account there. We must remain confident. Remain confident that what began as a mustard seed, back to that other parable, what began as a mustard seed will become a great tree. That what started in one small portion of the loaf eventually spreads throughout the whole loaf. That little bit of leaven leavens the whole bread, the whole loaf of bread. We need to do our part to be that leavening influence. The good kind. The good kind, not the bad kind, as we see. Let us not be that leaven that leavens the whole lump in a negative way, else we may need to be removed. We may need to be cut out. But here, let us be that leaven that is the good kind, the leaven that spreads not sin, but the gospel. Something that spreads good news wherever we go. Take the word of God into your own heart. Study and meditate upon it, and then seek to apply it in your lives and in your daily encounters with people. It's so important for us to be able to do that, so that we can let other... First off, you know, you'd be surprised. We've been here for how long now? 9 years? 10 years? 11 years? Somewhere along that line. How many people know that we're here? You'd be surprised how few people know that we're here. I'm not speaking from personal experience and going around and asking people, but some people just don't pay attention. They drive up and down this road. So not everybody does, but some people drive up and down this road and they don't pay us any attention. Not everybody knows that we're here. So let people know where we are. Let people know that we're here teaching the truth of God's word. And say, hey, we've got a home for you. If you're looking for a home, we've got a home for you to worship and to do God's will. We need to allow that word also to produce fruit in our lives so that we can, become that leavening influence for the kingdom of God. We need to do so by word as you share the gospel of the kingdom with others, as you evangelize and tell others about the church here and about Jesus Christ. By deed, we need to do this, spread that leavening influence by deed, by the works that we do. As you do good works that glorify God, we find in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, that our works glorify God, that our works may glorify God that is in heaven. We need to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world that we see in that passage, Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. We are designed to glorify God by our good works. As we talked about this morning, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. I encourage you to work on that, to do that, to continue. If you're already doing a whole bunch, man, that's awesome. Keep it up. If you need to do more, as I said this morning, make yourself useful. Make yourself useful. And so, our influence, we need to influence the world for good. We need to influence the world for good. And that is how we can spread that leaven, spread the gospel, and do good works, and do good. Show others the love of Christ, because he has loved us. With an understanding of these two parables, parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven, we can take heart in knowing that the work of Christ, that the work of Christ in regards to his kingdom will not be for naught. It won't be for nothing. It's worth it. It's worth it to share the gospel and to show others. Now, even if a man, looking at that parable of the sower, four different kinds of soil, one of them won't listen to you at all, two others will listen to you for a moment and then fall away, but then one, that good soil, man, it'll feel like your efforts are in vain if you encounter those three types for long enough. But then there's that one, that good soil, that great, good and noble heart. It becomes worth it. As we see, I think in Isaiah 55, his word will not return to him void. So at some point, when we share that word, when we share that gospel, somebody's going to listen. Somebody's going to listen. And I pray that is the case, that we continue to share that gospel so that someone will listen and obey his gospel. He'll obey his word. As we close this lesson, let me ask you this question. What kind of leaven are you? What kind of leaven are you? Remember, this parable has been describing leaven as a positive force. Are you the leaven, however, that is used elsewhere in Scripture? The leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, Luke 12, 1. Or the leaven that leavens the whole lump that needs to be purged, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Or are you that leaven that spreads the gospel of his word? I pray that you are. I pray that you are. And if not, we can make a change, can't we? We can make a change. Will you allow the grace of God to make you to be the kind of leaven that can be used for his glory? Man, that's what we see in the Scriptures. That his His influence can help us to, or that his what he's done for us can help us to be that good influence on others. He didn't give up on us. We shouldn't give up on doing his will. Let us continue to follow him. And for those who are on the live stream, if you've not obeyed the gospel, if you want to be that good leaven, let us know about that. Those of you in here as well. If you want to be that good leaven, you fear you've been that bad leaven for a little while, it's always time. Now is always the time to make sure that you're right with God, to become that good leaven, so that we might be able to go out and spread the gospel and be that positive influence in this world. Please, if you have a need, come forward as we stand and as we sing.